Class included a four-year-old filly by Include, won the Emerald Distaff Handicap last Sunday. Class included has never finished worse than second in 14 starts. She has posted 8 wins in 6 seconds, won 6 stakes, placed in graded stakes, and she's earned nearly $300,000 for owner breeders Michael and Amy Furborn. Class included may be a big fish in a little pond, but yet another daughter of Include, Include Me Out, is a big fish in a big pond. Include Me Out this year has won the Grade 1 Clement L. Hurst Stakes, the Grade 1 Santa Margarita Invitational, the Grade 2 La Canada Stakes, the Grade 2 Marjorie L. Everett Handicap, staking her claim as the best filly mare on the West Coast. Include is also the sire since 2012 Stakes winners, as Redeemed, winner of the Grade 2 Brooklyn, and She's All In, winner of the Grade 3 60 Sales, and a 14 to win a place in stakes this year. The Grade 1 Stakes winner over $1,659,000 by Champion Broad Brush. Include stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And when looking for a runner, be sure to inspect yearlings by the Airdrie Stallions, because the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profits.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the clocker stand as usual, like we are every Saturday, and the sun's shining, and they're through working, I hope, because I put my watches away. They're liable to pop up here, though, every now and then. They had 62, how many races?
68.
Well, I quit at 62, so they ran some, well, they must have known I quit, and they brought a bunch of them in. Anyway, it was a good morning. Track was pretty good, considering it hadn't rained or anything in a while, but it's decent times.
Hate to say it, but I'm cheering that hurricane. I hope it comes straight at us.
Right up that river.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't wish anybody ill south of here, but I hope we get it.
Well, what are we going to do today? At the top of the hour, I've got Steve Johnson coming in. He is the manager and owner of Margot Farm over on Moore's Mill Road, I believe that is. And he's got a piece of property over close to us, Jackie, down in Bourbon County on Brentsville.
Who does?
Steve Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. The place, old Fitzgerald place there.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
sure.
We drive by it about 60 times a day.
At least.
He's opening up a training center, and so he's going to come over. They're going to have an open house up there doing the sale, so we're going to have him on.
With food?
Well, I'll ask him.
Ask him. Okay. I got to have some incentive.
Makes some difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. To me, it does.
All right. Michael Bruin is running late. It's the story of his, I think that's his middle name, but he will be here sooner or later. We're going to call Dr. Byers. Doug is still on the mend. We're going to call him a little bit later. He's going to talk about the West Nile situation.
I wish he would.
And he's going to do that. Steve Moody was going to give us one of the Travers, and maybe if he's up to it, the Test Stakes. Of course, he's with Briss. Then we got Jackie's announcements, and I've got with me, as we speak, Gary Falter from over at the Jockey Club, and he's going to talk a little bit about the new website that they have up there for thoroughbred owners. And Gary, good morning.
Morning. How are you, Russell?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Good to be here.
Get a little closer to that mic.
Okay, will
yeah,
do.
Yeah, this is used East German equipment here, so we have to we have to speak up for it.
All right.
No, I'm teasing. Go ahead. Met you here just the other day.
Right.
And tell me what's going on over there now.
Well, as you said, we developed a new website recently to encourage thoroughbred ownership, and it's called OwnerView at ownerview.com. And it all started back about a year and a half ago when the Jockey Club announced at the Saratoga Roundtable 9 industry initiatives to build sustainable growth within our industry. Mm-hmm. And one of those initiatives was to develop some new resources, some new information tools for thoroughbred owners, new owners, prospective owners, existing owners, to help them get in the game and stay in the game. Mm-hmm. So those 9 initiatives, they all center around attracting new fans into our business and attracting new owners. And I've been heading up the OwnerView project mm-hmm. with the Jockey Club.
What's your title over there?
No, they call me vice president of operations, but they can call me about anything.
That's what they do me here. Yeah. They call me about anything.
Yeah.
You blew that one.
So we went live in May just before the Kentucky Derby with Owner View, and it's been pretty successful. We've had a lot of traffic
and so forth.
We've had since we've been live over 28,000 visitors, and we're targeting owners, new owners, existing owners, prospective owners. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of traffic, over 200,000 page views, and we're trying to reach out through a lot of different sources, a lot of different websites. To let people know that this site is out there, it's available, and everything on the site is free. There's no charge. There's no
what do you provide?
Well, one of the things that McKinsey came back and told us that owners found it very difficult to find information about trainers and the managed racing partnerships, licensing. So one of the main areas we have is find a trainer. We've got a section on Owner View where every active trainer is listed. There's over 7,000 active trainers in North America, and we have the statistics for every one of them. So if you go to the Owner View and click on Find a Trainer and key in the last name of any trainer, as long as they're active, and then by active we mean they've had a starter either this year or last year.
Okay.
So from the smallest trainer to the biggest trainer, we have all their stats, their top 10 horses. And many of the trainers have registered with Owner View and have put up their profiles. And their profiles are generally a contact information. How do you reach them? Either email or phone number.
Doesn't cost them anything either.
No, it doesn't cost the trainers. In fact, we're working hard to try to get more trainers on board because owners will go to Owner View and they'll look up trainer statistics and their top 10 horses. And then they'll email us because they don't know how to contact them.
Yeah, right.
So we're working hard trying to get more and more trainers to register and just put up their profile, an email, a phone number, maybe a little bit of a bio about themselves, how they got started in the game, what tracks they're currently stabled at. Because that helps owners when they're researching trainers, know and understand more about the trainer before they reach out to them. So trainers is a big part of the website. And we have a section for the racing partnerships, the Dogwoods, Team Valors. Got about 35 of the big racing
partnerships listed.
Yeah, there's that many. I'm amazed how many there are. And there's more and more showing up all the time. I mean, there are some I had never heard of. Once we launched Owner View, I would get emails saying, hey, we'd like to get our racing syndicate up on Owner View. And we're happy to do that because we're all about getting the information out there so owners can make informed decisions.
Yeah. What about sales and things like that? Do you provide anything?
Not at this time. The first go of launching Owner View, we wanted to concentrate on the trainers, the syndicates, licensing, aftercare, big thing. Mm-hmm. But we've got new features coming out. I mean, in 2012 and 13, we're going to add more and more features. We're working on a section right now where owners have asked us, I'd like to know more about the different state incentive programs. So we're building a section on Owner View where all the different states from Arizona to West Virginia and every state in
between. You mean the breeding programs?
Sure, breeding and owning, breeder incentives, owners incentives. And
I'm afraid Kentucky's going to come out on the short end of that.
Well, it does help an owner look at the different programs and understand, where might be the best place to have their horses or breed their horses. And beyond that, if somebody's new to our business and they want to invest in Kentucky Thoroughbreds, they'll know easily what the program is here in Kentucky or New York or wherever else they live or they want to breed and race.
You know, something else that just occurred to me and might be interesting to them is the real estate end of it, property in central Kentucky. Have you thought about that?
I have. I've actually reached out to some of the real estate companies, just more from a promotional thing. But, there's so many touch points for thoroughbred owners in our industry, whether it's racetracks. We want a section on racetracks. Training centers like here. I mean, how great would it be to have a section on Owner View where all the major training centers, Steve Johnson's new training center, Margo, would be listed so that owners who buy yearlings and two-year-olds, can go to Owner View and look up a training center in their area to send horses to.
Yeah.
Sales, publications, so owners can understand that there's national publications, there's regional publications, there are specialty publications. So the whole point of Owner View is we kind of want to be like the yellow pages for thoroughbred owners with a lot of different content areas and make it all free and intuitive and easy to find. Mm-hmm. So what we have out there now is just the first version, and a lot more to come over the next year or two.
Now, that website is, give it to me real quick.
Ownerview.com, www.ownerview.com.
That's a tough one.
Well, we came up with that name because it's all for owners, and owners want to view information on a lot of
just
different topics.
Just tough for me to remember, you know. I've got an excuse with my age. I forget a lot.
That's all right. And, you know, any trainers that are listening to the show, love to have you register and get your profiles up. If you need any assistance, we've got a contact option on the website. Just send us an email. We'll be happy to reach out to you and help you get registered.
Well, Steve's coming in this morning. I'll give him, make sure you left me some material around here.
Right.
In the debris.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
Well, Steve's a great guy. He's my next door neighbor in Woodford County. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't live next to his farm. We have our house and farm next to him and Shelley's farm right there on Hedden Road.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we're good friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me take a little break, and then I want to ask you a couple of things, and I'll get right back to you.
Great.
Pay some bills here, you know. Well, the first fool is by parading the yearlings. You'll have the opportunity to see some of them at the upcoming sales. Keep in mind that parading is a multiple graded stakes winner by leading sire and sire of sire's pulpit. Parading won graded stakes on grass and artificial at Pimlico, Keeneland, and he also won on dirt at Belmont. He was highly consistent, finishing on the board in 17 of 21 starts and earned nearly $600,000. Pulpit is the sire of Tappet, of course, who currently ranks third on the 2012 sire list by North American earnings, and Parading's Dam placed in graded stakes, and she's a full sister to champion filly and near $2 million earner Storm Flag, flying by Storm Cat. Second Dam is the classic winner My Flag, earner of over $1,557,000, and a daughter of the great Personal Ince. In stakes last weekend, the $100,000 Gold Rush Futurity was won by Get Happy Mister, a 2-year-old colt by First Sammy Rider. Undefeated in 4 starts, Get Happy Mister won by 9 1/4 lengths. So watch for yearlings by the Claiborne Stallions at the upcoming sales, and for more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right, well, I'm talking to Gary Falter here, and Gary, you have been in the horse business yourself. Are you still in it?
Yeah, oh, sure. My wife and I, we've had thoroughbreds for 30 years now, and we have a few broodmares on our farm in Woodford County. So,
okay.
It's a passion for us. It's part of our life. Not only working for the Jockey Club, which is a great organization, but also being able to breed known thoroughbreds.
Uh-huh. How many mares do you know you breed? Do you breed for the market or do you race?
For the market, yeah. We've raced a few, but we usually sell them. We've got a couple weanlings going in the November sale.
Yeah, what do you have?
I'm sorry?
What are they?
Well, we have a Tail of a Cotty colt that's very nice,
okay.
And a Sharp Humor colt out of two of our mares that are going in November.
Okay.
And we got lucky a few years ago. We bred a filly that was champion turf mare in Canada, Points of Grace by Point Given. So,
okay, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah, she was purchased by Live Oak Stud in Saratoga, so yeah. That was a wonderful, wonderful experience for us to follow her.
Yeah. Do you sell mostly weanlings?
We do a little bit of both. The colts we usually sell as weanlings because our farm is pretty small, but if we have a nice filly like Points of Grace, we'll keep them till their yearling year and try to focus on the select sales if they're good enough.
Yeah. Do you what do you race? Ones you couldn't sell?
We had a couple that we kept and raced, put together little racing partnerships. We had a filly named Eavesdropping, and she was right here at the training center Greg Begley. And she won a couple races for us and was a pretty consistent horse. Never ran for big money, but she did well.
Yeah.
And then we had a a horse by Medaglia d'Oro, Heart of Gold, who's still training, but our partnership has since dissolved, and I think Greg still plans to run him at I think Kentucky Downs soon.
Is that? I believe he's still out here, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he worked last week, but it's a different partnership that owns him. We dissolved our partnership because he had some shin problems, and some of the partners, you know, decided that it's time to cut loose. So
so you don't have anything in training.
Nothing in training now. Now we're more on the breeding side. We, the horses live with on our farm, and so that's just a way of life for us.
Are you close to Margot Farm?
No, we're on Hedden Road, right next to Steve Johnson. Yeah, his house is right on the corner of Hedden and Old Frankfurt, and we're right next to him.
Hedden, trying to figure out what Hedden is. What's it close to?
Close to, what's that restaurant, Cindy?
Midway,
but what's that restaurant there on Old Frankfurt?
Walla
Station. Yeah, you can walk to Walla Station.
Oh, okay.
From our house.
Oh, that'll fatten you up. It's a pretty good restaurant, though.
It is, yeah. We enjoy it.
Yeah, Midway's a great little town, isn't it?
It is. When we moved here 13 years ago from Ohio, we found that farm on Hedden Road, and it's just been a dream farm for us, a dream location.
Yeah, was your family in horse racing, or did you just get in it interest yourself?
No, I was the first. My dad started off as a young boy, going to Beulah Park as a young boy, and always loved horse racing, and told my dad growing up as a kid that one day I'm going to own race horses. And
there you go.
And it worked out, and so he introduced me to horse racing as a young boy. Always went Saturday to Beulah Park with my dad hanging on the rail.
Yeah. Started out at Beulah Park.
Yep. They used to call it Little Keeneland back then.
They did.
They did, honestly. They honestly did. Wouldn't use that term now, but then.
I've been to Beulah.
It was a neat little
You better run one, too. You're going to lose money shipping from here to Beulah and back. I tell you. But we went up there.
Yeah.
You go where you have to go to win, and
they
couldn't win anywhere else. Jack and I used to train out here. We bred our own.
Sure.
We had to race the ones we couldn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we sold a lot of them.
Yeah, anyway. Well, that's always our preference is to sell them. So we take them over to Keeneland and Bazzic Tipton, and what they bring, they bring.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we raced a lot of them too, didn't we, Jack? Mm-hmm. Too many.
Mm-hmm.
We've been here for 13 years, and it's just beautiful down here. And our family's all in Ohio.
So you're close to Grove City? Is that where you're close to?
Central Ohio, Columbus is where.
Columbus.
Right. Born and raised in Columbus.
I see. Mm-hmm. Cindy, were you born up? Where was Cindy? Where was she from?
Ohio. Gloucester, Ohio. Gloucester. Which is about an hour and a half from Columbus.
Okay. Yeah. You all meet in school?
No, we just met, actually.
Don't tell me at Beulah Park.
No, it was a funny story. I was driving home from Beulah Park one day and stopped and get gas at a gas station, and she had her little Mazda Miata in front of me, and noticed her and introduced myself, and the rest is history.
Is that the rest is history?
Yeah.
She wasn't pumping gas, was she?
She was putting gas in her Miata, and sure enough, I thought, well, every now and then, one needs to be bold. So
I was
bold, and it's been great.
It's paid off. Huh?
Yes, it has.
Now you got to go watch your grandson play some football.
Today. Yes, our grandson Ryan is playing in his first football game up in Ohio, so we're going to head up that way this afternoon and watch him play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you all go then.
Let me give
you that website again. It's ownerview.com.
Right.
And all your trainers and people out there can get on it for nothing. Price is right. Can't go wrong.
Right.
Great. All right.
Thanks for having us out.
Oh, Gary, it's fun talking to you.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
All right.
My sister used to.
Oh, kiddo.
They call it.
I think I'll. We're going to call Doc.
I can't remember.
You got his number? I've got his number written down. Now, Jackie, hand me that blank piece of paper that's laying over there. I wrote it down.
I went to a high state for a year. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Let me give you the thing.
Okay, give him that. We're going to call Dr. Byers. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Cindy.
Thank you.
I still believe you robbed a cradle.
Thank you for coming.
Sir, you have a big trip.
Thank you.
Y'all
went to Ohio State?
Oh, she's an attractive lady. We're trying to get in touch with Doug Byers right now. Next break, you want to do it? Or okay. You got his number?
Yeah.
Set him up, and then we'll call him. How's that? Meanwhile, winners from the Thoroughbred Center. We've had 50 this month so far. 15 since the last show. Had a pretty good week. And the trainers of those of those winners were Brenda Hill, Adolfo Marcias, Paul McEntee, J. Guadalupe Carvanata, Bill Hickey, Helmut Jackson, Fred Seitz, Paul Garcia, Tommy Mills, another one for Paul McEntee. Paul had a very nice week. Kellen Gorder, Jimmy Cargan, Don Combs, Adolfo Marcias, and Luis Jurado, who won last night at Mountaineer. Adolfo won at Ellis Park. We had winners, let's see, they're from, we've had winners from Hoosier, Ellis Park, River Downs, Mountaineer, and Presque Isle. I say they just ship out of here in every which direction, see. Once again, what else are we going to do this week? Well, we're going to get in touch. Let's go ahead and I'll start this and we'll try to get to you. Have you reached Doc yet over there? Huh?
Not yet.
You want to start on your commercials? I mean, on your.
Yeah, just
whatever.
Let me get some glasses.
Your announcements? She didn't bring her glasses.
Yes, I did.
Don't you have some Braille ones here?
I've left some ancient ones over here, but
okay.
I've got better ones.
All right.
I could still see a little bit.
All righty.
You know, so.
We'll get her fired up here in a minute. She moves a little slow sometimes.
Are they on? Hey, watch that.
He's trying to get in touch with Dr. Bauer over there. So.
Okay. What we've got going on today at the horse park. No, this is what's coming to the horse park. You know, they have a secretariat necklace, that's right, attractive, at the Horse Park gift shop. And next weekend is August 30th through September 3rd, is the Bluegrass Classic Dog Show. I'm going to take Betsy to that. They have all kinds of breeds. I think that'd be fun. At the same time, the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association, August 22nd through the 26th. August 25th through the 26th is Rockin' Our Rhythm Riders Gated Drill Team. Say that real quick. All gated mountain horse drill team. Have you ever heard so many adjectives in your whole life? Here's the verb. They perform in open drill competitions, parades, etc. They'll be performing in their Horses of the World presentation that weekend. What's today's date?
Today's the 25th.
That's today. They're going to be there today and tomorrow. Wonderful. And next week is the Kentucky Classic Horse Trials. September 5th through the 9th is, National Reining Horse Association. Are you listening over there, Miss Holly? Watch reining from the wonderful climate-controlled All-Tech Arena. That's included with park admission at September 5 through 9. And 7 through 9 is MSEDA Dressage at the park. Ooh, pay attention. Cross country schooling day is September 9th and the 12th. And that's where any schmuck that wants to, it's got a horse, can go out and ride cross country at the horse park. It's pretty cool. You know, that is, you know, nifty. Okay, here's an announcement. Effective September 4th. What is that, the day after Labor Day? I think so. Is that a Tuesday? 1, 2, 3, 4. Let me see.
Yeah, Tuesday.
A Tuesday. September 4th, the only permitted injectable race day medication will be Salix. Adjunct bleeder medication no longer permitted within 24 hours of a race. So you better check with your vet and have all that stuff straightened out before you ship, because you wouldn't want to go and run well. And have the money taken away. We had money taken away one time. Didn't get days. The horse chewed on some tobacco. And by golly, they said he ate a cigarette, or somebody dropped some out of a pot packet or something. And we lost a purse. Turned around 2 weeks, came back, won an allowance race. So there. Take that. Next membership meeting of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club is September 5th. That would be Wednesday. Dr. Raul Ross, DVM, Ross University 2005. He was at Rudin Riddle for an internship. And then he went to Cornell University Farrier School. So he's a journeyman farrier.
Cornell had a farrier school?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Grew up in Puerto Rico. He showed and bred Paso Finos. And he went to LSU, which has got really good teams. And he went on to graduate from vet school. And he did a clinical year at Auburn. And then he did the surgery internship. See, I've met him. I had a friend here, and something was going on with her horse. Took it to Rood and Riddle, and he's the guy that came out and looked at all the stuff, the X-rays, and talked about what all, you know. Anyway, sounds interesting. He was real nice. That is September 5th. You need to. Did you tell Matt when he was here that we were going?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
he's already. Signed us up.
Signed us up. Good. That's okay. Excellent.
Oh, Jackie, let me interrupt you. I'm going to try to get Doc on here in just a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Do some commercials. Well, Wednesday at York, the Group 3 Passant Maisons LLP Acorn Stakes was won by Dun Donnell, a two-year-old colt in the first crop by First Defense. Bred by Judmont Farm and owned by Khalid Abdullah, Dun Donnell has served notice that he was something special. He broke his maiden by 12 lengths in record time. He won the ACOM at the direct expense of Steeler, who's by Raven's Pass, and Alfonso de Sousa, a colt by Henry the Navigator. The ACOM Stakes was run over 7 furlongs, and that's a distance where First Defense excelled. He won grade 1 stakes, getting 7 furlongs and 122-2 at Saratoga. He ran 120 and 4 at Belmont, 121 and 1 at Churchill Downs. He also won stakes at Monmouth Park going around 2 turns. So he was a runner, and he has a great sire pedigree. First Defense by Unbridled Song, out of grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough to the top sire Empire Maker. A genetic masterpiece, First Defense, stakes winner, a group stakes winner now in his first crop, stands at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of the proven grade 1 stakes winner and proven grade 1 sire Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. Tom Biederman, my buddy Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. Boy, he has some great listings now. There's a lovely house over. I know where it, right where it is. It's 376 Weisenberger Mill Road, just a little over 8 acres, and it's a gorgeous place. It's a Greek revival residence in Medway, known as the John Graham House, and it is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous place. Now, he's got a place over on Greenwich. 323 acres with 100 stalls, including a training barn and a breeding complex and 4 residences. There's a place on Lemons Mill, one of the finest homes in central Kentucky over there. A nice place on Mount Horb, great land over there. You got a picture of it here, and it does look good. That's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. And Tom, if you're thinking about buying a place, he's the man to call. If you're thinking about selling your farm, he's the man to call. He's the guy that gets the job done. Let me give you his website. It's BiederManBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com, and his phone number is 277-2030.
To succeed,
runners and the McLeans have earned a reputation for raising runners at their Crestwood Farm. Crestwood Farm's a good farm to know. It's a family operation, and they treat their clients like family. They offer every service imaginable, and it's important to know that the majority of their clients have been with them for years. So give Polk McLean a call at Crestwood Farm, 252-3770, and check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, I've got Dr. Doug Byers with me. He won't come in here anymore. He's getting too lazy to come in, but we got him, chased him down, got him on the phone. Doug, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, and I think I finally have arrived. I'm as important as Michael Blown now. I'm contacted by phone. So, anyway, I actually contacted you and said, you think we need to do something on this West Nile. It's all over the news.
Absolutely. Tell us about it.
Well, I think the main message of this presentation, if you want to call it that, is going to be that these people need to worry about themselves more than their horses now, and if their horses are vaccinated. Otherwise, it's a unique year. Concentration of mosquitoes is enormous. And so we've had something like 40 deaths across the country in humans. And we have had a number of equine cases, but if they've been vaccinated, they usually recover. West Nile was first reported from the Bronx Zoo in 1999, and what they think occurred is that they imported an exotic animal from out of the country, brought the virus in. The virus started to hit what we call naive or unexposed animals at the zoo, mostly birds, and they had one get sick and die, and they found the virus. In 2000, year 2000, both horses and humans began to show up with mild cases. Not mild, but I mean, they had milder cases. Nobody knew what they were looking at. And so, when the horses got sick, and the virus was identified, and we have to remember now, when a horse gets sick, the virus doesn't concentrate in a horse high enough for a mosquito to bite it and then bite the human. So if you've got a horse West Nile, you're okay. It's only when the mosquito bites the bird, which concentrates the virus very high, does the mosquito become infective when he bites you. So humans need to walk around, I think, all the barns, the training center, all the stables need to have a crew go out there and dump and get rid of any standing water, because the mosquito larvae don't mature or thrive when the water has ample oxygen. So stagnant water is ideal for them to thrive and mature, and for the virus that they're carrying to become more concentrated. And if they, or if they bite a, when they mature, they bite a bird and they become infective, and then they bite a person. So we need to be a little bit cautious. The season for West Nile is through October, the end of October.
Does it take a frost, Doc?
What's that?
A frost to take care of it?
A what at it?
A frost. If, you know, like the F-R-O-S-T.
Let me get this phone.
Oh, okay.
It broke up. Now you're better.
Oh, okay. I said, well, a frost takes care of the mosquitoes. Is that it? Up in October and November?
Not really.
No? Okay.
The mosquitoes slow down in their feeding activity after that, unless we had an unusually warm period that was extended. And then when the mosquitoes kind of hibernate over the winter, the virus stays in them, but it also hibernates. So it's not multiplying, it's not getting worse, it's just stagnating until the next year, and it activates in about July. And so if you vaccinate your horses, and incidentally they had on the news that horses are the only animal that has an approved vaccine. So we don't have protection for humans, and we don't have protection for anything else, and anything else includes dogs, sheep, cattle, any of these. And so, you know, we're not looking at a frightening epidemic because there is some natural resistance. And when I say natural resistance, this is an endemic area. Endemic means it's in this area. So it lives here. So actually it lives in all the United States right now. So naive animals, there aren't as many naive animals. They've been exposed, and that gives them some level of resistance. So it's good that this has happened year 11 of exposure or of it coming into this country instead of year one, to have this concentration and environmental thing to contribute to it to a whole lot.
Yeah.
Clinically, your horse is vaccinated or not, although the unvaccinated horses can go on to die. They're more severe. But they're depressed. They may shake their skin, what we call fasciculations or jerking of the skin. They may be ataxic because the white matter from the brain extends down the spinal cord. So if it gets into the brain, then it extends down the spinal cord and they lose their coordination. They may be depressed or they may be fairly mild. I got a call 2 weeks ago from a veterinarian, and of course in this day and age, he was out of town, but he was an out of town veterinarian asking for some help on a yearling that wouldn't eat, very depressed, had a lip droop. So he sent me pictures, and sure enough, he had his lips were paralyzed. He couldn't really eat, but he was reasonably bright. You could arouse him. You could touch him, and you know, his skin was a little sensitive. But and that's because the virus gets into the white matter. Your gray matter is your thinking part. So you can have it get into the gray matter, but the white matter is where it generally tends to reside. Mm-hmm. So this particular horse was just depressed, and lips were paralyzed, and it was slightly incoordinated or ataxic, and it had been vaccinated. So they ran the tests for West Nile, which is called an IgM capture, which tests to find the antibodies or recipients to the virus, and he was positive. So in about 3 days, he's pretty bright. He's beginning to eat again. His lip sensation has come back. And that's a pretty typical vaccinate presentation. It's a profound enough, you know something's wrong, but it's not appearing as life-threatening.
Yeah.
Now, in humans, and we don't know the incubation period for them, and we don't even know it for our horses, but in experimental things, it's about 3 to 5 days from the time the mosquito bites the host. And humans can, of course, show the same clinical signs, mild clinical signs from a headache, just a mild headache that won't go away for a few days. And so you may wind up going to the doctor and you say, well, what about West Nile? I'm around a lot of mosquitoes. And the mosquitoes that tend to be the most infective are the birds that are most infective. And those are the birds that perch in trees or walk around the ponds. And so those are more high-risk areas.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home and dump Jackie's bird bath.
Yeah, but then, you know yeah. What?
Then the birds will go in the waters.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, those birds are probably less infective, but they can do it. Any of them can do it. And the bird has a higher body temperature than humans and horses, so the virus finds the bird a more pleasant host.
All right.
And so anyway, vaccinate your horses. If they've had a booster this year already, don't panic and give them another one. They're all set.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay. And then and they get vaccinate those that haven't been vaccinated.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right, Doc. Well, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you. And we're looking forward to you coming to the clocker stand.
All right. Well, if I come in with Michael, I'll have to guard myself.
Well, that goes without saying. Okay.
Yeah.
especially watch your wallet.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Doc. That's Dr. Okay. Doug Byers. We appreciate it. Well, over 75% of the starters from the first crop by Jazzle have won a place. They're picking up checks at major tracks and abroad as well. Several are knocking on the door in stakes. Allowance winner Najjar is placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. DeSizzle, another allowance winner, is currently being pointed to the Win and You're In Turf Monster Stakes at Parks after allowance wins at Churchill Downs and Turfway. Farhan has posted two wins in Great Britain and has performed well in a pair of group stakes. Love Me Good was fourth in the Grade 3 debutante at Churchill after an impressive win at Presque Isle. And there are more promising runners by Jazzle on the way. One of the best bred young sires in the world, Jazzle, and his half-sister, Rag to Riches, both won the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Jazzle's by Seeking the Gold. His dam won graded stakes and was a broodmare of the year. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks, and his third dam was yet another broodmare of the year. He stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and check the website at shadwellfarm.com. Now, to say a little something about my good friend Ralph Quillen over Quillen Leather and Tack. Jackie, do you check the website on what's his?
Quillen.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the same things for sale.
Okay.
He's in love with pink halters for fillies.
Is he?
Yeah.
There's a lady out here that trains it where it's got pink bridles and things.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably got them from him.
First time I saw it, I said, oh, that's got to be a female trainer there. It was.
It was.
Anyway, well, I guarantee it's a good halter if it comes from Quillen.
Yeah, they've got different colored checkbook covers. Yeah. And if you're going to do something like something fun and different for Christmas, they also have... you know those things you have?
Jingle bells?
Jingle bells.
Sleigh bells?
Sleigh bells.
Oh, okay.
Get your sleigh bell in, order in.
What do you do, hanging on your door?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so much fun for Christmas and fall. It's just, you know, in case it ever snows here again.
Oh, they've got all kinds of things. Going into the sales now, and they've got sales book covers.
Yes.
And whatever you want. But, of course, the big thing is halters. They send out over 17,000 halters a year
I'll tell you what else too. They fix tack.
Oh yeah.
That's extremely important.
Yeah,
you know, we just save up busted halters and take them over at one time. But they fix saddles too. Wayne, remember the last week was it they had an article in the paper?
Oh yeah, it was a good one too.
Yeah, it was a good one. Well, that was Wayne's picture on there, and they can fix anything. He can, you know, keep your saddle from falling apart and et cetera. So
yeah, it's a great tack shop. It's down in Paris, Kentucky. If you're going into Paris, well, you go straight on in. Don't turn on the bypass. And it's the third stoplight on the left.
Across from Ken's.
Right, across from Ken's New Market over there. All right. That's Quillen Tack and Leather. Well, spring at last is the sire of 6 2-year-old winners in his first crop. A lover's question has posted two wins at Colonial Downs, including a victory in the Jamestown Stakes. Two others have placed in stakes. Spring in the Air at Woodbine and Just Gone also in Canada. Most recent winner and a very impressive winner is first-time starter Spring Venture. Bred in Kentucky by Stoneway Farm, Spring Venture won a $67,000 maiden special at Woodbine on August 18th. Breaking from the outside 12 post position, Spring Venture stalked the early pace, then drew off under a hand ride to win by 4.5 lengths. She's a filly with a bright future. Spring at Last is a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,139,000. He's the leading money-winning son among the nearly 90 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. He's one of three graded stakes winners, two grade one winners out of Winners Gone by Dinah Former. Leading freshman sire, Spring at Last stands at Windstar Farm, home of three of the top 10 sires on the 2012 sire list. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Who do we have out there? Is that my buddy out there? Steve? Hey, come on in. Yeah,
right.
Steve Johnson, we'll get you. You got here early. We'll just put you on early. That'll show you. Come on in, sit down. Either pew, it doesn't make any difference. It's Steve Johnson, Margot Farm. And I haven't seen you in a while. Have you been behaving yourself?
Not really, but it's good to see you again. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's good to have you out here. I think the first time I met you, you had just been voted Farm Manager of the Year. Do you remember that?
I remember you came out to the farm and we sat and talked and then went on from there.
Yeah, that's when I used to come out and get them tape. We'd bring my tape recorder out, but I got too lazy to do that, so I...
So you make us come in see you. Right.
I make you come in. Margot Farm, you've been there for quite a while now there on Moore's Mill?
Moore's Mill, yes.
Yeah, right close to the road, right close to Glencrest Farm.
Right there, our neighbor.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, we're right outside of Midway. It's on Moore's Mill. We've got 320 acres out there.
Yeah.
And the creek, the Elkhorn, North Fork of the Elkhorn, goes three quarters of the way around the farm. So we're kind of isolated and protected.
You got to be a good line, but that's a scary bridge to cross.
Yeah, we had a truck stuck on that the other day. And a lot of these guys, they stopped down there and they said, well, I'm not going to cross that bridge. But they can do it. They can do it. We just have to give them confidence and talk them through it.
Oh my goodness, you're like a green two-year-old, huh? But it doesn't have any sides on that bridge, well, I remember. Did you ever put any sides on it?
No, the water can go on through, but you just take a straight shot and you can do it.
Close your eyes and go.
Right.
Yeah. It's a beautiful farm.
It is. It's a good farm. It's good soil. A lot of good horses come off that farm.
Now, I understand you're putting in a training track.
We're putting in a training track. We've been starting horses for 5 years. We've got down on the in the floodplain around the creek. We've got about 100-150 feet offset from the creek where we've been galloping horses for some time. And it's a great surface down there.
It's on grass.
It's on grass.
Yeah.
We did have tilled up a dirt track, so we've got dirt down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a new partner that's come in, Jim Hill. Jim's from Calgary, Alberta. And when Jim signed on, he said, we've got everything here we need. We've got the grass tracks and the gallops. We've got the dirt. We've got the starting gate, the arenas and the round pens and all the equipment we need, except we don't have an all-weather.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, yeah, right. You know what? You have any idea what that would cost? He says, yeah. He's got one up in Calgary that he's put in. It's been in for 3 years. And I went up there and looked at it. And it's just amazing how well it's withstood the winters and the weather up there.
Yeah, well, of course, Woodbine, you know, is.
Woodbine's poly.
Yeah.
And this material we're using called Travel Rite. It's predominantly a sand-based material, but it's got larger fibers in it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pretty firm surface, so it's going to give us concussion. But it's not really going to stick, you know, like a lot of some of the other synthetics tend to do. So,
yeah.
But it drains extraordinarily well. We're just excited as we can be to get it in. The material will be in sometime in the middle of September. So the end of September, we'll have her laid down.
Oh, very good. How big a track is it going to be now?
We've got a mile.
A mile.
And what we did, so we've got about a three-quarter mile oval. And then we took a little offshoot from it and got about 3/8 of a mile uphill run where we shot down in behind some paddocks and got down into another field. So.
Yeah.
And it worked out. It connected one barn to the other. So the training horses we've had have been in almost two barns that have been on opposite sides of the farm.
Yeah.
So the starting part of the chute or the 3/8 uphill is right in front of one of the barns, and then so it'll lead right into the track, and then we can swing on around and make a radius. Our radius is our one of them is 375 feet, and the other one's 400 feet. Mm-hmm. So I talked to Butch Lear at Churchill, and he said Churchill Downs is 400-foot radius, and I think trackside is 350. So we've got a nice, easy turn to do our gallops on.
Okay. How many stalls do you have available?
We've got 100 on the main farm. We've got 104 stalls that are there.
Now the main farm that's you're talking about the place on Moore's Mill.
Farm, yeah, right. That's where we're doing the training.
Yeah, because I know you got some property out close to me.
Well, we're neighbors with you down there.
Yeah. You come slumming.
Yeah. that's good ground out there, isn't it?
It really is. We've raised a lot of good horses. Now, I haven't personally raised any. Most of mine were bad. But, as you well know, there's a lot of good horses come out of there. Johnny Ward, I live right close to Johnny Ward.
Right,
farm,
right.
You know.
Right.
And then there's another place, Greenwood, right across from Johnny's. I forget what they call that now. Gorgeous place, people from Texas.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And then, of course, you know, Raceland is right behind of us.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they've raised a few good horses off of that place, haven't they?
One or two.
Yeah.
Mr. Hand got Bullhanger just turned over to his grave, did he?
Yeah, right.
Well, that's great. But, of course, you've been in the business a long time, you know. I mean, it's you know what you're doing, and... did you hire a trainer, or are you doing that yourself?
Oh, no, that's not me. Gene Bossler is starting our horses here on the farm. Gene, he's one of the most complete horsemen I've ever known.
Okay, where is he from now?
He's here in Lexington. He's head outrider over at Keeneland.
Okay.
A lot of people know him from that. Of course, he knows a lot of the riders from over there.
Uh-huh.
And he comes in, they go to a lot of the big farms in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, so then they'll hit us in the afternoon.
Okay.
And so they'll come out. And this year we started 48.
Wow. That's
last
a good start,
year we were in the 30s. And so
it's building.
We've built it up over the last 5 years, just kind of taking baby steps. But it's worked well.
Let me take a break here. Got to pay the bills and I'll get back to you. All right. Well, August 19th at Del Mar, Winding Way gave you one more reason to take a good look at the Malibu Moon yearlings at the Keeneland sales. Winner of first start by nearly 5 lengths and a second by 7. Winding Way spotted the field of older fillies and mares some 12 lengths after an unprepared start, and she won the Grade 3 Rancho Bernardo. Bred and owned by Spendthrift Farm, Winding Way was the only 3-year-old in the field. She has given every indication she was on her way to becoming another Life at 10 or Devil May Care or Malibu Mint or Ask the Moon or Funny Moon. Those are all Grade 1 stakes winners, and they're all daughters of Malibu Moon. And her graded stakes win follows just days after Quiet Katie, an undefeated 2-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 2 Adirondack at Saratoga. Of course, Malibu Moon also sires running colts. Colts like, champion 2-year-old Declan's Moon. Currently ranked 6th among leading sires by North American earnings, Malibu Moon is represented by 9 2012 stakes winners, 5 of them graded stakes winners, including a Grade 1 stakes winner. Stands at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feller, and Ned Toffee. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Frisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Frisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, August 17 at Saratoga, the $100,000 Summer Guest Stakes was won by Lady Cohiba, a 3-year-old filly by Broken Vow. Bred by Mike Rutherford and sold as a yearling to Keeneland for $240,000, Lady Cohiba finished 2nd in the Inside Information Stakes at Belmont earlier this year. She won stakes as a 2-year-old at Aqueduct. She is one of 15 2012 stakes winners by Broken Vow. And he's tied for 1st in that category with Giant's Causeway. In other words, another sire has sired more 2012 stakes winners in North America than Broken Vow. If you want a runner in your racing stable, buy a Broken Vow yearling at the upcoming sales. Also, take a good look at yearlings by Bob and John, Cowboy Cow, and Sky Classic. Bob and John has sired 3 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners, and nearly 40 winners in his first crop. Millionaire Cowboy Cow won 5 graded stakes, placed in grade 1 stakes, and is by champion sire Giant's Causeway. His first foal's a yearling. It's Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic has sired 58 stakes winners, 6 champions. Inquiries to Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, 873-1420, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Whispering something to me, Jackie, or something I should know?
No, I just called. I was when Steve came up here, I was on the phone talking to Dr. Burns, and I said, how long does the West Nile virus really effective? And he said about a half a year, and then it kind of tapers off, and you can give a booster if you want, but it takes a couple of weeks to kick in.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that works. I was just...
Is he coming over? We got 4 old...
I can go get him.
Old broken down plugs like me. Get a little closer to that mic. You got a big voice, but yeah, we need to get you a little closer to that mic. There comes Dutcher.
Here's Dutcher.
Dutcher and his runny nose.
Dutcher and... All right. Well, I'm talking to Steve Johnson now over at Margo Farm. I remember, though, that you basically sell more. You raise a lot of yearlings to sell and stuff, don't you, for boarders and stuff like that?
We have been, Ursula, we've been a commercial operation for some time.
Yeah.
And we started racing several years ago, had some partnerships that we put together and brought in some physicians. Both my partners previously had been physicians, and so they were able to bring in some of their friends and associates, and we had several partnerships that we raced, and one thing led to another where we just really enjoyed the opportunity and the ability to start our yearlings ourselves rather than send them off to Florida or South Carolina or other places. And as we grew in that area, we started racing more. And with the market, the downturn on the market, I mean, my commercial business has been down 35 to 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looked like there was more opportunity for us to focus more on what was working well for us, that being the starting the training. And so then with the advent of a new partner who's really focused on training,
yeah.
He's got 40 horses in training right now, and so it behooves him to really put a lot more effort into the starting process here at the farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kentucky, people say you can't train or break horses or get them started or get them going in Kentucky. Well, Ursula, I'm here to tell you, it's a great place to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
The winter's notwithstanding. And so what we found is that doing it the way we did on the grass, that January and February and March were dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this last winter, they were really good. We start our yearlings in November, and those are all the fast trackers, and then we got some that we don't even really start until January, February. They're on a different track.
Yeah.
But those fast trackers, we'll get them off the farm sometime May, June, maybe even April.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the round pen, and then we'll take them out to the arena. So we can go out on the arena any day of the year. But to get out on the gallops in January, February, and March, it's just a day by day.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now having an all weather is just going to make
such a difference. That'll solve that problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're also going to do a lot of layups. And so now we can predictably get them out at that time. And the other thing is July, August, and September, what we're going through right now. And this ground is hard.
Yeah.
And so it's tough to get out on the gallop and really do right by the horse out there. And we jog some, but we've got the dirt track. But now with the all weather, again, problem solved. We'll be able to easily get out on in July and August as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what our goal or what our thinking is right now, about 35% of our galloping is going to be on the all weather. The other 65% will stay on the grass.
On the grass, yeah.
But the grass to me is the best surface possible for galloping a horse.
Kind of a natural, wouldn't
it? It's natural. It's natural footing.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
How far do you try to get them to go before you think they're ready? Distance on the farm?
Jackie, what we try to do is we tell the people we're sending the horses to that we're not going to have any speed introduced into the horse.
No.
We're going to have a good bottom under them. They are going to be ready to 2-minute lick when they come off our farm. They'll be galloping anywhere from 2 to 2.5 miles.
Yeah.
We do a lot of uphill work with them.
Yeah.
Down on the grass course, we've got it's a 3/8, and we have a finish. It's an 1/8 going uphill, and it's just really, really exciting to see these things. They're in the middle of a 3/8, and then that last 1/8 is up the hill, and of course it's going to the barn. But also they jump into that hill, and they get so much benefit out of that. Yeah.
Would you have an opportunity to change directions where, you know, counterclockwise
exactly,
and clockwise?
Exactly. We're going to be doing half and half. So on
perfect.
This track, you know, we'll be able to go counter or clockwise, either one.
That's great.
But you need to come out and see this track when we get it.
Well, I understand you're having an open house. So.
Open house on Friday the 14th. So that's the dark day at Keeneland. So we're going to have, hopefully, we'll be set to have people come out and love to show you around.
Oh, I love to see it. Yeah. We're going to get out there.
I'm going to write that down so I can announce it.
Okay. Let me take a top of the hour break and I've got a few more things I want to ask you then you can go back to work.
All right.
okay. Well, last Saturday at Del Mar, I think I'm doing this right. Let me check my list here before I do anything. Yeah, last Saturday, Del Mar, the Grade 1 $300,000 Del Mar Oaks was won by Lady of Shamrock, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Scat Daddy. Lady of Shamrock has also won the Grade 1 American Oaks at Hollywood Park and 2 other stakes at Santa Anita this year. She won stakes at 2 last year at Santa Anita, and she's earned over $645,000. She is one of 6 stakes winners, 5 of them graded stakes winners from Scat Daddy's first crop, and 7 others are placed in stakes. He is, according to figures compiled by the Jockey Club Information Services, the nation's leading second crop sire, ranking just above Hard Spun and Street Sense. Stands at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home of the nation's leading sire, Giant's Causeway, and leading freshman sire, Majestic Warrior. Ranking 3rd on the freshman sire list is Henry the Navigator, who also stands at Ashford Stud. Henry the Navigator came within less than a length of siring his 2nd Grade 1 stakes winner, just the other day when George Vancouver ran 2nd in the Grade 1 pre-morning. That was last Sunday. Take a good look at yearlings by the Ashford Stud Stallions at the upcoming sales, because only at Ashmore will you find, at Coomore will you find, leading sires and potential leading sires.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, class included, a 4-year-old filly by Include won the Emerald Distaff Handicap last Sunday. Class included has never finished worse than 2nd. In 14 starts, she's posted 8 wins and 6 seconds. She won 6 stakes, placed in graded stakes, and she's earned nearly $300,000 for owner breeders Michael and Amy Furborn. Class included may be a big fish in a little pond, but yet another daughter of Include, Include Me Out, is a big fish in a big pond. Cluniac this year has won the Grade 1 Clemenel Hirsch Stakes, the Grade 1 Santa Margarita Invitational, the Grade 2 La Canada Stakes, and the Grade 2 Marjorie Everett Handicap to stake her claim as the best filly or mare on the West Coast. And Clune is also the sire of such 2012 stakes winners as Redeem, winner of the Grade 2 Brooklyn, and She's All In, winner of the Grade 3 60 Sales, and a 14 to win a place in stakes this year. The Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,659,000 by champion sire Broad Brush includes is that Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com, and when looking for a runner, be sure to inspect yearlings by the Airdrie Stallions, because the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty. Starting the second hour there, I'm talking to Steve Johnson of Margo Farm, and he keeps looking at his watch, so I'm going to have to get him out of here in a minute, obviously. Before you go, where are you from originally, Steve?
Well, I came to Kentucky back in the 70s from Maryland.
From Maryland?
That's where I was in Maryland. It was I came to Spendthrift Farm when Brownell and Linda had taken over from Cousin Les, and she Linda recruited John Williams, myself, and Hooper Roth. We all came within a month of each other.
Yeah, I knew John was a. I didn't know Hooper was from up there, but
Hooper
knew
actually I think was from New Jersey.
Yeah, well, John's of Maryland bred.
Oh sure, Hellmore Farm. Yeah,
yeah, you know, was your family in the horse business up there?
No, no, no. When I graduated from the University of Maryland, and it was a real interesting conversation at the dinner table when, you know, I announced that I was going to go into the horse industry. And, you know, my mom asked, you know, what do you get to do? And I said, well, you get to start at 6 o'clock and get a pitchfork and get to clean stalls. And so, I mean, you just see their wheels turning, you know.
Isn't that what all college graduates?
We put this kid through 4 years of college, and he's doing what? And her comment was, well, that's interesting.
What was your degree in?
Well, I graduated with undergraduate in English, and then subsequently got a I didn't complete a master's, but got all the coursework, did a thesis, but I didn't finish it to get a master's degree in reproductive physiology.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I thought I wanted to be a vet. And then I rode with a vet for a day. And, you know, that, I mean, that's tough work.
yeah.
Doing that. And you're doing the same thing day in and day out. You know, in farming, every day is different.
Well, that's true.
And I enjoy that. I enjoy the, you know, the audibles you got to call and the way you got to just orchestrate each day. And I like fencing. I like building. I like handling with the horses. And, I mean, it's just.
How long did you stay with Spendthrift?
I was there 3 years.
3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where'd you go from there?
I went to Chatillon Farm with Dr. Bill Lockridge.
Okay.
When he and Harry Rainier had that.
Yeah. Well, it's now Coolmore.
No. Well, I lived over in that house, what is now Coolmore, but then I worked over on what is still Chatillon.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 513.
Oh yeah, right on the corner.
Right on the corner, 513 acres. And
yeah.
Then Dr. Lockridge and Harry Rainier. They went their different directions, and Bill went over to what is now Coolmore.
Yeah. Now that's a place that used to belong to Ben Walden, isn't it?
Chatillon did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah. Julian.
Yeah.
His father was
sure
Julian.
Did.
I believe that's right.
Right.
And Ben. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I can go back a little way.
Yeah, I'm sure you
just
had to see Catherine West. You know, she had across the road.
Yeah,
is where Bob is right now. And then Ben Walden had was it Mackie? I think didn't he have Dearborn?
Yes.
Wasn't that from the same?
Yeah. But he moved over on what's the name of that road up? I can't remember
Weisenberger?
Yeah, Ben Jr. turned it into Vine. Yeah, Vine Weisenberger. Ben
Jr.
Right. He turned it into Vine.
Right.
And, yeah.
And that's Darby Dan's now. Darby Dan's over there right now.
Do they own that now?
Yes, they do.
I didn't know that.
Sure.
See, I'd very seldom get out that way. I go the other way. You know where I am.
I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, okay. Burbank. I don't, not the bars now. I'm talking about the farm.
The churches.
Right, the church, right. Yeah, right.
Good.
Yeah. But Chatillon Farm, Ben had no robbery standing there, and timeless moment, I believe he had.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ben had some good horses over there.
Ben raised some good horses.
Sure he did.
And Ben Jr. Uh-huh. had too. Now Julian's got his hands on a few.
Yeah, for sure.
Boys have done well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, they knew good land, Ursel. I mean, they selected good soil and good farms and good land. All those farms are just really top notch soils.
Yeah. Now the property you bought over on Brentsville, is that overflow for you or what?
Well, it is that. But I mean, again, that land is just so phenomenal in what it produces horse-wise.
Yeah.
Billy Murphy, who had it previously, said, I think he told me there were 4 horses in the Kentucky Derby in the last 7 years that came off that farm.
Yeah.
And they didn't win it, but they were in it.
Yeah.
And that'll give you some idea the quality of horses that have come off it. But I tell you, we see the Doug Parsons, our farrier, he'll get after Jeannie over there sometimes. Say, Jeannie, we didn't trim this horse last month. And she'll go out and get her records and say, yes, we did. Here it is right here.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Doug will look at that half or three-quarter inch of hoof that's grown out. But that soil, that whole program over there, it just grows foot phenomenally.
Yeah.
And they come out of there with a really, really good foot.
Yeah.
Harlan's Holiday came off that farm.
Yeah. Did he really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Now, your place... real close to Jim Fitzgerald's over on 460.
Yeah, well, Jim originally developed that farm.
Yeah, sure, I know he did. Yeah.
So he started, and I don't know, there were some ownership changes between him and then Billy, who we bought it from.
Yeah. No, I think he sold it to Billy, didn't he?
I can't remember.
Well, I don't know. I saw Billy just the other day stand up here in the clock.
Jim's a good horseman. He knows how to lay out a farm. We did very few changes over there.
Yeah, well, he's an old spendthrift grad, too.
Sure is. Yeah. That's right.
Hell, half the horsemen in Fayette County went to the spendthrift
program. You think about the people that were in the spendthrift program back in the 70s and 80s.
Right? Yeah.
I know there was, I don't know who put it together, but 2 years ago there was a reunion. Brownell came and Linda came and John was there, and Rick Nichols. All those
Pork and Avine Campion.
Pork and Avine, yeah.
Pork and Avine.
That's where they met, by the way.
That's right. That's right. I mean that. But I mean, everybody was there. It was a really good time.
They raised a few pretty good horses while they were there too.
Sure did.
Well, I sure wish you well with your new property
thank you.
New venture. It's not new property, but new venture. And do something about that bridge. It scares the crap out of me every time I go across that bridge.
You can come in the back way. We've got a back entrance.
Okay.
But, just suck it up, Ursula.
Have you ever seen it?
Do you remember the bridge you built?
The one that goes up?
No. This is one that you see through it too, can't you?
Sure you can.
Right. It's how would you describe it? Yeah. It's your bridge.
Well, it's almost like just like a wet bridge, where you drive over the creek. But it's got enough of an opening underneath for the water to go through. But when the creek's up, and it does go over that bridge.
Then you have to go out the back way.
Then we go out the back way, yeah.
I'm going to find
But that only happens once or twice a year.
What's the back? Now. What entrance is that?
It's right 62? It's 62, comes in that way in the back end of Morris Mill.
And I didn't realize
that's
that.
That's where the Glencrest office is, right back in there.
Oh, okay.
So you can come in that way.
Yeah.
It's an escape route.
I drove a trailer over there once. I was breeding something over there a long time ago. Boy, I tell you.
I'd make a wide turn. That's what you do.
Like a wide turn, close your eyes.
But we keep spare tires in the shop because I can't tell you how many of these trailers have been popped and hit those pylons there on the bridge.
That's worse than fox hunt.
Yeah. Oh, going some of the places she and Jackie places. Used fox hunt. And, some of those places they used to go, you had to drive up a darn creek.
Exactly. Very spooky.
Whew. Well, I'm going to let you go, Steve.
Okay,
well, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you all, Jackie. Good seeing you again.
Good seeing you.
Take care, my friend.
Good to see you.
I'll let you get back to work. I know you look anxious.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you.
All right. Well, the first one is about parading of yearlings, and you'll have the opportunity to see some at the upcoming yearling sales. Keep in mind that parading is a multiple graded stakes winner by leading sire and sire's pulpit. Parading won graded stakes on grass and artificial at Pimlico, Keeneland, and he also won on dirt. That was at Belmont. He was highly consistent, finishing on the board in 17 of 21 starts. He earned over $590,000. Pulpit's the sire of Tappet, who currently ranks third on the 2012 sire list by North American earnings. And Parading's Dam placed in graded stakes, and she's a full sister to the champion, Philly, a near $2 million earner, Storm Flag Flying, who's by Stormcat. The second dam is classic winner My Flag, earner of over $1,557,000, and the daughter of the great Person Linton. The stakes last weekend, the $100,000 Gold Rush Futurity, was won by Get Happy Mister. That's a two-year-old colt by First Samurai. He's undefeated in four starts, and Good Happy Mister won by 9 1/4 lengths. So watch for yearlings by the Claiborne Stallions at the upcoming sales. For more information, get in touch with Bernie Sams at 233-4252 and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Claiborne. We have a problem down there. Let me go ahead and do something else then.
Are we on?
Okay. Well, yesterday at Saratoga, the grade one $500,000 Ballerina Stakes was won by Turbulent Descent. A four-year-old filly by Congrats. Turbulent Descent has now won four grade one stakes. She's earned over $1,200,000. Her most recent grade one score follows by just 6 days, the win by I'm Stepping It Up. Four-year colt by Congrats in the 830 stakes at Delaware. I'm Stepping It Up won stakes last year at Belmont and Delaware and has earned over $400,000. Turbulent Descent and I'm Stepping It Up are among the 23 stakes horses sired by Congrats in his first two crops. And there are more on the way. In fact, starting with book one at the Keeneland September sales, you'll find youngsters by Congrats with a world of potential. Congrats stands at Vinery, Kentucky, and as a reminder, you won't find a better place to prepare your yearling purchases for racing than with Vinery. Give John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson a call and ask how they can be of assistance to you. The number is 455-9388, and the website is vinery.com. Well, kind of flying on our own down there. Maybe we can... Jackie, you want to do a few... more of your whatchamacallit?
Sure, I can.
Let's see if we can't do something here.
My announcements. Well, Steve Johnson was just here on Friday, September 14th at Margot Stud. They're going to have an open house from 10 till 2. Now, that's out on Moores Mill Road in Midway. And going to make every effort to get there. Sounds like fun. And I love farm training. We've taken all of ours before we ever brought him in and galloped, walked, jogged, whatever was appropriate at the time on the farm, got a lot of miles under him, and it really sets him up. Okay. River Downs is going to have a casino, multiple hotels and restaurants. It's going to be a big deal. So we'll be running up there, I suppose. It's going to have big purses and... it's going to be fun.
I hope they don't lose some of the atmosphere that they had down there. You know,
well, that's true.
It's a gorgeous little plant. That's the only, I don't know if anybody's ever been down there. It's
the only place in Cincinnati that's got atmosphere. I grew up there. Atmosphere is not strong point. So, but River Downs has always been terrific.
It's fun to go down there, you know. And, yeah. You know, it's a gorgeous little track. It's a great track.
I guess it'll kill Turfway.
Well, probably, yeah. If the politicians about done that.
So. Yeah, it was just another nail in the coffin. Yeah. So all the Kentucky money gets to go all over to Ohio.
Yeah, right.
So there you are. Okay, Kentucky Farm Manager's annual trail ride is going to be Saturday, September 22nd, and they're going to Shakertown. Yahoo! That's fun.
I think some of those politicians are taking that money with them too.
Yeah, no doubt. It's just they're just good. Ruining it. Okay. Yeah. The trail ride's going to cost $15 a rider. It starts at 11. It says Shaker Stables. Now I'll tell you how you get to it. When you pull into Shakertown, you make a big left turn and go down, and the lake's on your right, and then you keep going, and then you pretty much have to make a right-hand turn around there, and you'll see a big black barn, and that's where you go. You need a Coggins, of course. The best way to go is straight out Harrodsburg Road. keep going, and then you go down the river, and then you go up from the other side of the river, and it's on the right. Slow down when you see stone walls. It's a wonderful place to ride. You need a health certificate, too. Anyway, it's a lot of fun, and you might run into, at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, you might run into fox hunters, but I doubt it. I don't think they'd hunt that day. Well, they'll be done by then anyway. Okay, Farm Manager of the Year this year is Bill Wofford. What about that? He's got Rimrock Farm with his wife, Beth. He breaks, consigns, boards thoroughbreds. It's on Kearney Road. And he's really a great guy. He really and truly is. He's a licensed flat and steeplechase trainer. He had Ozymandias, the 1986 National Timber Horse of the Year. If it wasn't for him, High Hope Steeplechase would be a memory. He does so much for it. So, anyway, yeah, there it is. He is known as Mr. High Hope Steeplechase. I didn't know that. So, and he does a lot for Riding for Hope. So it's a good thing, and it's going to be a nice affair. It's at the end of September. Let me see if I can find the date, but you need to get a hold of farm managers and let them know. September 28th, it's on a Friday night at the Red Mile Round Barn. Cocktail hour begins at 6, and the event begins at 7. It's $45, or table for 8 is $3.15. Go to ktfmc.org. See if there's anything. Let's see. September yearling sales on their calendar, 10th through the 21st. Trail ride, I told you about that. And, of course, Bill Wofford, Manager of the Year. That includes a dance, by the way. So the youngies get out there and have a good time. Now, let me see if there's anything else. At the horse park, no, I don't think. I think I mentioned all that. The Bluegrass Classic Dog Show is next week. Friday, September 21st is the last of the Haggard Challenge Arena series. It's a Grand Prix event, so it's in Alltech Arena. The last one is Friday, September 21st. Last night was the second to last. Oh, and that includes the Betsy with the final. That's the one where they have raised over $300,000 for the Markey Cancer Center in honor of Betsy Fishback, who died a couple years ago of cancer. Horses and Hope Trail Ride, hosted by First Lady Jane Beshear, would be at the horse park September 16th. This is a fun one, too. If you pre-register, it's $65 by September 1st. After that, or on-site, it's $75. Ride all around the horse park. Once again, that's a great treat. If you're interested, it's horsesandhope.org. Proceeds benefit Horses and Hope, and it's all, of course, cancer stuff. Which is a nice way. Oh, here you go. No stakes scheduled for the Turfway Fall Meet. Starts September 6th for, I don't know how long it runs, but 16-day schedule. New post time for night racing, a change in smoking policy. Oh, I'm sure you're not allowed to smoke. today is a benefit in Paris for the Paris Paws, Paris Animal Welfare Society. It's at Sienna Farm, which is out on Winchester Road. It starts at 6:30. It's $60 if you'd like to go. 749-8386. They're raising more money for the
Humane Society.
Humane Society. So that's just a super thing. Join trainer Shelby Hume and the staff of the Kentucky Equine Humane Center, partnership with Haggard Equine Medical Institute. I mean, I remember when it was Haggard's Veterinary. Okay, it's a natural horsemanship clinic called Think Like Your Horse. Think Like My Horse is food, food, drink food, food, run away, hide, stand in the shade.
Well, that's you.
That's me to a T. It's from 9 to 5. It's $15. If you're interested, you go to KYEHC, Kentucky Equine Humane Center, .org. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Wednesday at York, the Group 3 ACOM Stakes was won by Dundonnell, a two-year-old colt from the First Crop by First Defense. Bred by Judmont Farm and owned by Khalid Abdullah, Dundonnell has served notice that he was something special already. Broke his maiden by 12 lengths and set a new course record. He won the ACOM at the direct expense of Steeler by Raven's Pass and Alfonso de Sousa, a colt by Henry the Navigator. The ACOM Stakes was run over 7 furlongs, and that's a distance where First Defense excelled. He won Grade 1 Stakes, getting 7 furlongs and won 22-2. That was at Saratoga. He ran in 120-4 Belmont. He ran in 121 at Churchill Downs. Of course, he also won stakes at Monmouth Park, going around 2 turns. Any way you look at it, he was a runner, and he has a great sire pedigree. First Defense is by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Salute to the top sire, Empire Maker. Also Chester House, incidentally. The genetic masterpiece, First Defense, stands at Judmont Farm, home also of the proven Grade 1 Stakes winner and proven Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Winding Way, a winner last week of the Grade 3 Rancho Bernardo Handicap at Del Mar. Quarry Kate, winner a week early of the Grade 2 Adirondack Stakes at Saratoga. And Sensible Lady, winner of the Saratoga Coronation Stakes that same weekend, were raised at Spendthrift Farm. And all three were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. The list of superior runners raised on products from McCauley's just keeps growing. Well, last year, for instance, 2011, the list included the winners of 110 graded stakes and some 24 individual grade one stakes winners. Now, that's proof positive of the effectiveness of the McCauley products. Now, the fact that the sales toppers at both Saratoga Select Sales and the Keeneland September Sales were also raised on McCauley products. So, to join the winning team, just contact Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. The first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I know I was talking a little bit earlier to Steve Johnson about how good the land was down in where he's property owns on Brentsville Road down in Bourbon County, and right there also joining not only is the former Raceland farm, well, they still call it Raceland's, owned by Darley now, but that's where Bull Hancock raised all those top runners and a bunch, not all of them, but a whole great horses came off of there. And Jim Fitzgerald's property is right there also. So it's great land, and it's listed for sale, incidentally, with Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. So check it out. Jim has 2 farms. The one that I'm talking about now is Knock Griffin. It's on 460, just a couple of miles from the Paris bypass. Raised a lot of good runners right in that area. And of course, Jim has raised a bunch of them himself. He has another farm, which is just 10 minutes away. So I guess he's consolidating and he has an opportunity to buy that. The other name, of course, where he is, his new place over there, he does the same thing, boarding, sales prep, public sales, private sales. Of course, he'll have a consignment out here at Keeneland in September. And the rehab, he's got quality farm help, and Jim's going to just give you some good, sound, common sense advice also. That's knockgriffinfarm.com is his website, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N farm.com. Phone number is 987-8032. All righty. Well, I guess, did you ever get in touch with Steve?
Not yet.
Well, how are we going to know who's going to win Travers if we don't get in touch with Steve?
I don't know.
And I don't think Michael Blowin's going to make the scene. Well, he's the tour guide today.
Important people on that tour.
Well, it must be. Somebody with money.
I hope. Yeah. We hope.
I absolutely hope. Okay, for the KTA and my good friend David Schweitzer, let's give you the Breeders of Kentucky Foal Stakes winners last weekend. And who we're going to start out with, we'll have to go to Point of Entry, who won the Soar Dantra Invitational. That's at Saratoga. It's grade one. And, of course, he was bred and his own by the Fifth Stable and raised right down at Claiborne Farm. That's about as Kentucky as you can get. The Del Mar Oaks, grade one, at Lady of Shamrock won that. That's a Scat Daddy filly, bred by Grovendale Sales. And Lady of Shamrock has won six of her 10 starts now and $645,000. And, of course, she is from the first crop. Foals by the leading second crop sire, Scat Daddy, who stands at Ashford Stud. The Woodford Reserve Lake Placid Stakes, grade two at Saratoga. Stephanie's Kitten was bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The San Pablo Stakes, that's the horse's name, is San Pablo, excuse me, bred by Dan Bearden, and he won the Philip H. Isling Handicap, grade three, at Monmouth Park. We were just talking about Winding Way a minute ago. Malibu Moon filly that won the Rancho Bernardo Handicap, grade three at Del Mar. She's undefeated in three starts, incidentally. And, of course, she was bred by Spendthrift Farm. Am I right about that? Is Malibu Moon? No, she's bred by Stonerside Stables. I got her mixed up. The daddy, of course, Malibu Moon, is that top stud over at Spendthrift Farm. I knew I was close to it. Just down the road. Carnation Stakes at Saratoga. The winner of that, Sensible Lady. Now, she was bred at Spendthrift Farm. The Dolphine Mistakes at Penn National went to Flair El Loro, bred by the Blue Heaven Farm. Don't know that place. That's all right. They probably don't know me either. The Edward J. DiBartolo Memorial Handicap at Remington. Don Dulce won that. Another good runner bred by Pin Oak Stud. The 830 Stakes at Delaware. I'm Stepping It Up by Congrats. That's a Florida bred. Ooh. Well, anyway, Congrats is over at Vinery. Just out of grade one stakes winner, incidentally. We'll talk about him next week. The Emerald Distaff Handicap winner went to Class Included, a 4-year-old filly by Include, bred by Michael and Amy Fearborn. The Green Flash Handicap at Del Mar, Shrug won that, bred by Liberation Farm and Stonewall Farm. The Hutu Stakes went to Julia Starr, the Hutu Stakes run at Arlington, bred by Roger and Beth McDaniel. The Hong Kong Jockey Club Handicap at Hastings, winner Evelyn's Dancer, bred by Brian and Gary Lister, et al. I don't know who et al is, but anyway, I know Gary. The Michael G. Wash Novice Stakes at Saratoga went to History Boy, bred by Joseph Allen. The Naked Greed Stakes at Calder, Empire Builder, was bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The winner of the Restoration Stakes, which was run at Monmouth, went to Corinthia's Jewel, bred by Michael Hernan, William Andrade, Black Rock Bloodstock and Summerhill Equine. The Sandy Blue Handicap at Del Mar, Lady 10, bred by Mercedes Stables. The Straight Line Stakes winner, that's at Arlington. Francois, bred by Cloverleaf Farms. The Summer Guest Stakes at Saratoga. Lady Cohiba by Broken Vow, bred by Mike Rutherford. And I believe that just about wraps it up for that. And that about tore the heck out of that segment, didn't it?
Yes.
Let me do some commercials here and how we fed set with.
We're getting moody when we get
back. We're getting moody when we're getting old. Did you wake him up?
Yeah.
It's about time he got out of bed. Okay, well, over 75% of the starters from the first crop by Jazzle have won a place. They are picking up checks at major tracks and abroad as well, and several are knocking on the door in stakes. For instance, allowance winner Najar has placed in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. Just Sizzle, another allowance winner, is currently being pointed to the Winning You're In Turf Monster Stakes over at Parks. He won those allowance races at Churchill Downs and Turfway. Farhan has posted 2 wins in Great Britain and has performed well in group stakes there. Love Me Good was 4th in the Grade 3 Debutant at Churchill after an impressive win at Presque Isle. And there are, of course, more promising runners by Jazzle on the way. One of the best-bred young sires in the world, Jazzle, and his half-sister Rags to Riches both won the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Jazzle is by Seeking the Goal. His dam won graded stakes and was a broodmare of the year. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks. His third dam was a broodmare of the year. He stands at Shadwell Farm and inquires to stallion manager Ken Barnes. Check the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Pro.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, the first foals by U.S. Ranger arrived to rave reviews last year. Now, yearlings, you'll be able to judge for yourself at the Keeneland September sales. While checking them out, keep in mind that U.S. Ranger was a champion at 3 and a champion at 4, and that he was undefeated in 3 starts as a 2-year-old. Then add to the mix the fact that U.S. Ranger is a son of Danzig, and that sons of Danzig are excelling at stud, hard spun, war fun, and, of course, the world's leading sire stakes winners, Dane Hill. And there's more. U.S. Ranger's dam is a half-sister to the top sire, Dinah Farmer, the sire of some 130 stakes winners. U.S. Ranger's been given every opportunity to be a leading sire. He stands at Windstar Farm, home of 3 of the top 10 sires on the 2012 sire list. Distorted Humor, Sprites Down, and Tis Now. So watch for yearlings by U.S. Ranger and the Windstar Stallions at the sale. And for more information, call Jerry Duffy at 873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I believe we finally chased down Steve Moody. Just got him out of bed. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing all right. I also just watched the first race from the Spa. An early start today, and so they're underway.
Oh, okay.
Fast and firm, and looks like they're going to have a pretty good day up there.
Oh, I tell you, exciting day. Got 2 Grade 1 stakes today, the test and, of course, the Travers.
They got one more. They got the King's Bishop, so they got 3.
Oh,
great
it is. Well, let's do 2 of them. Pick any 2. Of course, I want the Travers.
All right. Well, we'll start with the Travers. That's the 12th. Mile and a quarter, of course, for 3-year-olds, the Midsummer Derby. And not too, you know, with the 3-year-old division is kind of jumbled, to say the least. All the horses on the Derby trail kind of on the shelf or out of commission, but
retired.
they do have 11 going today in the Travers, and I think that I guess a month ago, 4 weeks ago, when they ran Jim Dandy, my pick in that race was Neck and Neck, who I thought ran a pretty good race. Finished 2nd in there. The problem was it just wasn't any there wasn't any pace, and Alpha just got away with just a crawling pace up front, and was able to stay in front all the way in the race. Of course, the race did come up wet. The track came up wet that day. So hopefully we're going to stay dry today, and I think there's some more pace in the Travers than there was in the Jim Dandy. So I'm going to give Neck and Neck another chance here. This colt from Ian Wilkes' barn, I think is going to move forward today. He's worked well since the Jim Dandy. Looks like he's coming in this race on top of his game, and I think he'll be able to track the pace setters and then take over in the stretch run today. I'm going to give him the slight edge. The two spot, I went with the 10, Nonios, a colt trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. This one has been primarily a synthetic loving horse, ran on nothing but poly track up until his last start. He shipped east and ran a big second in the Haskell behind Painter in his first dirt start. I think he'll looks like he handled the dirt very well, and I think he's going to move forward today. I think he has a big chance. And then a horse maybe with a little bit of a price, Street Life, the 5. I think he's going to be running at the end for Chad Brown, Jose Lascano, and I'm going to give him a shot to get part of it. So we're going to go 8, 10, 5 in the Travers.
Very good. Okay, how about either the test or the King's Bishop? Which one you want to do?
All right, well, we'll go with the...
Whichever's a better race, how's that?
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up. We'll go with the Distaffers and go with the test. This, of course, is 7 furlongs for 3-year-old fillies. And this race was normally always been run, or not all, maybe not always, but certainly in recent times, has been run on Whitney weekend. But this year they've moved it to the Travers weekend, and they take the Ballerina, which normally has been run for the Travers, moved it to yesterday. So now the test moves into the Travers Stakes Day card. Got a field of 10 going in the test. I think the Bob Baffert horse contested. Was so impressive back in the spring at Churchill Downs, and then when she went to Belmont for the Acorn and won that impressively, had a bad day in the Mother Goose pressed pace and just couldn't last going a mile and an eighth, faded late. But she is she's unbeaten distances from 6 furlongs to a mile, and of course this 7 furlongs I think will suit her very well. She bounced back from that poor effort in the Mother Goose with a strong set of works, and I think she's going to come back with a good race today. The horse I think she's got to worry about is the 3 horse Book Review. She's got the right running style here. There is plenty of speed. Contested has won on the lead, but she doesn't have to have the lead every step in order to win. I think that's important in this race because there is plenty of other speed. I think she'll need to stay out of the speed duel, but if one develops, Book Review is maybe the one that can take the best advantage. She likes to stalk. She'll be 2, 3, maybe 4 lengths out of it early, and then come running. She's won 2 in a row. She gets tested today for class. She's never been faced this type of company, but she's certainly on top of her game now, and I think you've got to respect her. And then the 2 horse Albie Kay, her last 2 sprint races have been her best 2 races of her career. So she's another one that's really going good right now, and one that figures to be pretty close all the way around. Pretty tough edition of the test. We're going to go 8, 832.
8-3-2 in a test. Hey, we got a second. Give us the winner of the King's Bishop while you're at it.
Okay, well, the King's Bishop is the male version of the test, 7 furlongs for 3-year-old colts, colts and geldings. We've got a field of 10 going in there. Pretty well matched group. I think the 3-horse currency swap is probably the horse to beat. He is 3-for-3 at Saratoga, and he's shown in all those races that he's got the ability to rate. He doesn't have to he's got speed, but he doesn't have to lead all the way. He can sit just off of it if the pace gets too hot. And a bullet work since his last start, which was a win. I think he could be ready to go today for trainer Terry Pompey. The interesting horse in here, I think at a price Ursula is the 1-horse, Willie Beeman. This horse actually ran on Wednesday, in the Albany Stakes, going 1.8 miles. And, he landed in that race with, there was just no speed in the race at all. And he just fell right to the front and just kind of waltzed around there. It wasn't much more than a workout, really. He didn't have to run much at all. And, Rick Dutro, decided to, he'd wheel right back in 3 days. And, so he's in there today, trying to, I guess do his, Dutrov's trying to do his Woody Stevens impression with, Conquistador Cielo.
Yeah.
And, come back. And he actually has a chance in there, I think. I don't think you can throw him out. And, I think he's going to be right there running at the end, and I think he's got a solid chance at it. And then lastly, the horse with the most speed in the race is the 9-horse on the outside, Trini Bird. This horse, ironically, when they've taken the blinkers off of this horse, is when, even though he's a front runner, when they've taken blinkers off is when he's been in his best. He is really good right now. He's going to go to the front from the outside and, just try to carry that speed, as far as he can. And, he will definitely be the one to catch, but there is some other speed in there to maybe run with him. Gunboat and, a couple of others. So, it should be a heck of a race. I'm going to go give the slight edge to currency swap. And, so we'll go, 3-1-9 in the King's Bishop.
All righty. 3 grade 1s today. This is Steve Moody of Bloodstock Research Information Services. And you can pick up that Saratoga, sheet, off the website, which would be, BrisNet.com. Yeah, that throws me off. BrisNet.com. You can go right there and get it. Steve, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you next week, my friend.
We'll do it.
All righty. Well, August 19 at Del Mar Winding Way gave you one more reason to take a good look at the Malibu Moon yearlings at Keeneland. Winner of her first start by nearly 5 lengths and her second by over 7, Winding Way spotted the field of older filly's mare 12 lengths after a poor start to win the Grade 3 Rancho Bernardo Stakes. Bred and owned by Spendthrift Farm, Winding Way was the only 3-year-old in the field. She has given every indication that she's on her way to becoming another Life at 10 or Devil May Care or Malibu Mint or Ask the Moon or Funny Moon. Those are all Grade 1 stakes winners. They're all daughters of Malibu Moon. And her graded stakes win follows just days after Kauai Cape, an undefeated 2-year-old filly by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 2 Adirondack at Saratoga. Of course, Malibu Moon also sires running colts, well, such as champion two-year-old Declan's Moon. Currently ranked sixth among leading sires by North American earnings, Malibu Moon is represented by 9 2012 stakes winners. Five of them are graded stakes winners, including a grade one stakes winner. Stands at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ned Toppy. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. Well, speaking of the Travers, Steve Moody just giving us the winner of the Travers Stakes. Of course, the first winner, and this goes back even ahead of my time, 1864.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was won, appropriately enough, by a horse named Kentucky, who was by Lexington, bred by John M. Clay, and that's got to be Bourbon County. And he's out of a mare named Magnolia, who was by Glencoe, and Magnolia was a celebrated producer. She's a dam also of Daniel Boone, Victory, Gilroy, Skedaddle, and they were all top-class runners. Mr. Clay brought Kentucky to the Patterson, New Jersey meeting as a two-year-old in 1863, and won a sweepstakes with him, and then sold him to John W. Purdy for $6,000. And he later passed, the horse later passed to the stable onto the ownership of Mr. John Hunter, who liked his breeding. Kentucky was never beaten after he got beaten in the Jersey Derby of 1864. Won 21 races, won the Travers and the Sequel, both at Saratoga. Won the Saratoga Cup, won that in 1865 and 1866. He was so completely dominated racing that the owners decided not to run him because it would spoil the sport. I wish I had one like that. I'd run him anyway. The conditions for the Narragansett meeting, for instance, 1868, read Kentucky is to carry 10 pounds extra in all races. It was proposed that he run against Lexington's record for 4 miles at the Jerome Park meeting. It was in October 1867, but Walter Vosburgh, who wrote about it, said that he'd taken on an impossible task, that the shape, the soil, and the condition of the Jerome Park race course were not conducive to speed, so he failed in this track record attempt. Last appearance at a racetrack was at Jerome Park in October of 1868. At a sale in August Belmont, that would be the senior August Belmont, bought him, paid $15,000 for him. Retired to stud, Mr. Belmont's nursery stud at Babylon, New York, in the spring of 1869. That was before, of course, that his son August Belmont bought the property down, the nursery stud property down here, which was over on the Georgetown Pike. Right, you know where Spur Road empties onto Georgetown Pike, right just across from the Lindley School. That is where the Mr. August Belmont, where Man of War was foaled at nursery stud instead. Kentucky didn't attain as a sire the high rank that he had at the racetrack, but same could be a sin of all sons of Lexington as far as that goes. His best runners were probably the filly Woodbine, who won the first running of the Coaching Club American Oaks. No, it wasn't the Coaching Club American Oaks. Well, which one was it? It was the Alabama. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it's been run. The Travers have been won by a whole lot of really top horses, for instance. Harry Bassett won it in 1871. And with the, unless it was Longfellow, there was no runner attained the celebrity of Harry Bassett. He was unbeaten as a 3-year-old, won the Belmont, and of course the Travers, the Jerome, and the Kenner, and a couple of other stakes races. He met Longfellow twice as a 4-year-old. He won the Monmouth Cup, beating him, but then, Longfellow did, but then Harry Bassett won the Saratoga Cup. Later, he was, according to Mr. Vosburgh, he was over-raced and finally was beaten in the maturity stakes, and he never regained his form after that. He was described as a horse of amazing beauty. Wasn't much stud horse. I had one pretty good colt, George McCullough, but he, in all fairness, he died at age 10. So there weren't too many. But, you know, down through the years, of course, it's been won by some top horses. You know, you look down through there, and Hindu won it, and Broomstick won it in 1904. Some lot of other good horses, you know, that Romer won it in 1914. He was a great racehorse. Hello. Omar Khayyam won it the year he won the Derby in 1917. Horse named Man of War won it in 1920. That's the day that Andy Schoedinger rode him. That's the only time Mr. Schoedinger ever rode him, was in the Travers. He picked up 129 pounds and beat Upset, who was in with 123, and John P. Greer was in with 115. Set a new new American record at that time. Mars won it in 1926, and of course in 1930 was Jim Dandy, who upset Gallant Fox, and which one in that race? And Gallant Fox, of course, the Triple Crown winner. Which one broke down in the race and never raced again? 20 grand, a great 20 grand for Green Tree Stables, won it in 1931. McAtee rode him. Well, of course, he won the Derby and the Belmont Stakes. Mate won the Preakness that year. 830, who was one of the best racehorses of his era. He never earned a championship. Oh, what a top-class horse he was, 830. He was by Pilot, and stood over at on the Kenny Lane there, right where I was raised. I could look out our bedroom window and see 830 over an old Kenny farm. George D. Widener had it there. He was a gorgeous horse, one of the best-looking horses I've ever seen, a chestnut with a blaze, star and a stripe, and he was one of those real golden chested something, man. The sun would hit him and he looked great. Whirlaway won in 1941. He carried 130 pounds, beat Ferrymant, who was just an ordinary runner, 112. Shutout, he won the Derby, won it in 1942 under Arcaro. Let's see, by Jiminy, 44, he was the champion three-year-old that year, 1944. He was by Fairmont, the second. Lights Up won it in 1950, beat the filly Bed of Roses. I saw Lights Up win two stakes in a row, two Saturdays in a row, win handicaps as an older horse at the Golden Gate Fields. Bet on him both Saturdays, beat a horse named Phil D in both races. Phil D went off as a favorite in both races, and Lights Up beat him both times. Battlefield won it in 1951. One count in 52. One count was the champion three-year-old of his year. Beat Armageddon, who was the sire of Battlejohn, who was the sire of Ack-Ack. Tom Fool ran third that day. Let's see. Native Dancer, of course, 1953. Fisherman, another son of Pilot. He won it for Mr. C.V. Whitney next door over here. I guess he's buried over there in what's now Gainesway Farm. Gallant Man in 1957 won the Travers. Let's see, Sword Dancer in 1959 beat Middle Brother and Nimmer. Jiper, that was a great race. 1962, one of the all-time great races between Jiper and Rydan. And they dueled for the entire mile and a quarter. I mean, they was head bobbed the whole way. And Jiper, who was by Nashville, bobbed at the right time. And picked up the check. Willie Shoemaker was on him. Buck Passer won it in 1966. Of course, Damascus in 1967. Arts and Letters. Bold Reason. Of course, let's see, what's this horse's name here? Oh, there's Old Annihilatum that won it having a senior moment here. Anyway, that music means I got to jump out of here. Where can we pick this thing up now?
LSU.com.
LSU.
WLXG.
WLXG.com. What did I say? LSU?
Yeah.
and WLXG.com. I'm tired. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Sounds like a plan. It's hot in here.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be up a day or two if I can figure it out.
Okay.
On UrsulaEllis.com or Ursula.
Thanks, Mary Jane, and thanks, Ressie, and I'm going home to take a nap.